Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, September 9th of 2020. And I'm your host tonight, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in tonight, and that you've chosen to tune in tonight to hear the word of the Lord, as well as to hear me talk to you, of course, but ultimately to hear the word of the Lord. And we're glad to have you. Of course, for those of you who are new to the show, maybe this is your first time listening, maybe you've only listened maybe one time before in the last 2 years, we actually launched The Miracle Man back in July of 2017. What it is this. The reason the show is called The Miracle Man Show is because I believe in miracles, as does my family, and God has done many miracles in my life over the years, and I am believing God for more miracles to be done in my life when it comes to the healing of my body, my eyes, and other things. And I know the God of miracles. I know the God of miracles. Amen. And I serve the God of miracles. And that's why when we designed the show, we called it The Miracle Man Show. That's why we call it The Miracle Man Show, because I serve a God of miracles, and I know that God is well able to do miracles for us. And we firmly believe in faith. We believe in God. We believe there's only one way to heaven. We believe also, we believe that we believe in the Trinity. We believe that, let me think here. How do I say it? We believe that we're real people. We have real problems, but we serve a real God who is well, willing, and able to deliver us. And he's more than able. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in the healing power of Jesus. We believe in the Word of God. Every night that I come on the show and I'm reading to you, it's from the Scriptures. That's my textbook here on the show, is, of course, the Word of God. And I bring it to you in its unadulterated form. And I don't do the whole fake doctrine thing. I don't do that. And I love to tell it how the Bible says it. I really do. And obviously I love sharing the Word of God with you and teaching you. And the reason I teach you what I teach you is so that you have something to go with you and put to use as you go through life. Also, another thing I should mention is this. When you come on board and listen to the Miracle Man show, that should not be a replacement for your church attendance. It should supplement it, not replace it. It shouldn't replace it. Because you do need to get yourself in a local church where you can rub shoulders with and get to know other good believers in the faith, believers in God. Amen. And if you're a newbie to this whole walk with God thing, then you can get to know those who have been at it a long time. And of course, we all have the goal of making it to heaven. Amen, amen, amen. And of course, that's part of the goal, is to make heaven. And of course, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. Your mask, whatever you call it. I call it the mosque. Or your face diaper. Whatever you call that thing that you're required to wear when you go into a store at most of these corporations. When you wear that facial device, the mosque, the face diaper, whatever, that thing will not go with you to heaven. Did you hear that, Becky? Your mosque will not go with you to heaven. I remember I was hearing, one time I heard Rodney Howard Brown say it. I haven't heard Dr. Barclay say it yet. I hope he does. I think it's hilarious. I thought it was hilarious when I heard him say that your face diaper won't go with you to heaven. It won't. The only thing that can go with you to heaven is people, 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 people. I know my donuts won't be going with me to heaven either. Mother, if you're listening to me, Mother, there will be a Starbucks in heaven. Your Starbucks won't be going up there with you. It'll already be up there prepared for you. Your coffee will be prepared for you up there. But it won't be in your hand while you're going up. It'll be there when you get there. But the mosques, say goodbye to those and have, you won't need them in heaven. You won't need them. You won't need them. Ultimately, we believe, you know, that there's only one way to heaven. And obviously, people is the only thing that can go with me to heaven, that can go with us to heaven. The only thing that can go with us to heaven, of course, is people. And, of course, that's why I do this show, is to reach people. So if you can tell more other people about the show, that would be amazing. And that can really help increase the amount of listeners, because we're always believing God to increase the amount of people who listen. And the more that you tell people, the more people we can reach. And the biggest, and of course, the biggest reason why I want more and more people to listen to the show has, first and foremost, of course, to do with the fact that people is the only thing that you can take with you to heaven. And obviously, the more souls I can win for Jesus, the better. And I'm sure, listeners, those of you who have been Christians for very long at all, I would hope that you would want to win as many souls for Jesus as you possibly could. I know you would. Amen. We do, of course, deal with sports on the Miracle Man show normally. Lately, there hasn't been quite as much sports content as there was before the virus. But, however, we will have the some football starting back up very soon. NFL restarts tomorrow with the first game of the season. We have a couple of key college conferences starting up this weekend, and another big one starting either on the 19th or the 26th. So football will now be making a comeback here on the Miracle Man show in the form of Football Central. It will be coming back. It's going to be quite a bit different. I obviously do not know the rules yet, even at like the local games. Obviously, I know that you have to sign off on it if you want to go inside. But I don't know as to how, what it has to do like with people maybe watching from the outside of the stadium, which I might be listening from the outside of the stadium at the first, at least one or two Midland home football games, unless we enter the next phase, which would allow, obviously, some more fans. And so we'll see, obviously, what happens. And I'm one of those where it's like, I'm ready for whatever happens. I'll have to see if they redid the sound system and other things and what have you. What would be cool would be if the sound system was powerful enough that I could hear it from out here. Because ultimately, when it's real close by, like how I live a half mile from the stadium, I think the best way to hear it a lot of times is hearing it from the stadium announcer itself. Because then it sounds like you're there, even if you're not. So. I'll have to wait and see in the first night, you know, I'll probably walk down to campus, like to kind of see, like to see how well I can hear it from outside, so I can kind of hear what's going on, you know, hear the stadium announcer. But we just have to wait and see, of course. But in other words, but yeah, we will be talking a little bit of football tonight. And what I hope to see the Lions do this year. And that will be a bit later. That'll be towards the end of the show. So the program note is Football Central is back, at least in a limited form. And yes, there will be Son of Swami making predictions. My version of Son of Swami, and what that is where I'll name the teams and then I'll talk about the game, you know, and that, and then I give nicknames for the teams. Example, Lions, if I expect them to win, I call them Lion of Judah. If they're expected to lose, based on my prediction, I make my own. I don't just go by someone else's. I make my own. If my expectation is for them to lose, I call them the Lie Downs. Okay. So that's how we do it here at Miracle Man when it comes to football. As for the Big Ten, right now they say they're going to wait till spring, but the Big Ten would really like to play in the fall, as would I would really like them to play in the fall. I think they need to play in the fall, even if it's in October. They need to play these games. They have to. Have to. The way I look at it. But I'm going to get off in sports right now. Okay. Now, another thing. Tomorrow night, I am going to be, tomorrow night there is a Trump rally in Freeland at the MBS International Airport in a hangar. I'm going to be there. It's going to be great. What I expect is for the president to talk about making America great again. We were rolling for the first about 3 years or so of his presidency. We were rolling for the first, and then, of course, his impeachment. And then after that, we had the plague came, the Chinese virus, as he likes to call it. And I agree, but everybody calls it their own thing. I usually just call it the virus. But anyhow, that thing came, and then you had, George Floyd, and you had the riot start and all that. So, like, this year, ever since, like, near the end of last year, it's been attack after attack after attack after attack after attack on our president. And so we need to pray. We need to pray over our country. We have to pray over our president that he doesn't get all beat down and that he surrounds himself with the right people, that he picks the right people, that he wins. Because regardless of what you think about his hair, or the way he says certain things, or his attitude towards certain things, or what have you, we need to realize something. We have a choice. America, as we've always known it, with life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the great Constitution and its amendments, all these rights we have as Americans, and the greatest economy on earth, or socialism, and all the not good things that come with it. In California right now, it's illegal to have church right now in California. They made it so you can't have church. They claim it's about a virus. I think it's about more than just a virus. It's about more than just a virus. The way I see it, their government in California does not like the church. They do not like the church. Oh, you can loot? Oh, you're going to loot and riot? It's fine. Oh, you want to go to church? No, fine. arrested. Oh, you got a Bible study on your table? Stop them. And if you think I'm making this up, I'm not. And we have to go out there and vote, listeners. This is very important. This is the most important election in a very long time. And I know we've heard that for years and years and years. I've heard it since 2008. I heard it in 08. I heard it in 2012. I heard it in 2016. This is the most important election of our lifetime. This is the most important election of our lifetime. This is for real, though. This time it's not just a cliche statement. No, it's not. Because if the wrong people get in, America will be fundamentally transformed and not in a good way. So be praying, be paying attention. Be praying over your country. And if you're unsure who you're going to vote for, pray. Pray to God. Ask God to help you. And between the two main people, the choice can't be clearer. There was a day when it could have been a little bit blurry, where like one was for this, one was also for this, but in a different form. Maybe one of them was against this, the other was for this. But other than these couple of things, maybe they were similar. Not the case this time. This time, the choices cannot be clearer. So you have to decide which way you want to go. And my big advice to you is not just to vote. Vote Bible. And vote, and don't just vote for the president. Vote for your mayor, if you're electing a mayor in your city. Vote for your city council. Vote for, if you're one of the few states that's electing a governor, vote on that race. Vote, you know, your township representative. And pay for all of those, pray for all of those who represent you in authority, like the Bible tells us. Pray for those who have authority over us. The Bible tells us to do that. So, it's a biblical responsibility to do that. So, by all means, pray for them. But, in other words, I will be at that rally. Expect them to talk about Make America Great Again, jobs, you know, how we're doing with the Chinese virus. I also expect him to talk about our auto industry, which my dad is a proud worker for 20 years, for just a little over 20 years. And I expect to hear great things coming from him tomorrow night. And, of course, some jabs at one more thing, and then I'm going to sing, and then we'll get into the word, and then we'll get into some sports. I'm sure some of your listeners have seen the slogan or heard of it, Riding with Biden. Have you, Becky, heard of that, Riding with Biden?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Actually, the way I see it, what I'm about to say right now is about a joke. It's not necessarily a political opinion, but it's kind of a joke. But could be serious, but the way I've heard it, could either be riding with Biden, or you were riding along, and then Biden got in, and then crash! Everything crashed. Because because he got in there. So I like to say you crashed with Biden instead of you went riding with Biden. Take it for what it is. I tried to make it funny. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Nonetheless, God bless the USA. Amen. God, stand for the flag. Amen. Now, the last thing I'm going to say before we sing is Rail Side opened today, from what I understand. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to go there for lunch tomorrow to meet my mom before we go to the rally. And I'll let you know how it was. Mind you, they are in the new location. They are in the old location of Ruby Tuesdays now, 6800 Eastman Avenue in the Midland Mall at what the mall calls the main entrance. I don't. I call the food court the main entrance, the food court entrance. But for whatever reason, the mall does otherwise. And as to why, I don't know. Nonetheless, we're going to sing, listeners, now. We're going to sing, and then we're going to go into the Word of the Lord tonight. And I want you to be ready to receive from the Word of the Lord. Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Oh, Lord, what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Oh Lord, what could stand against? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, there's nothing worth more that would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence, your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome, Lord Jesus. You're welcome to come in and move on our behalf. Touch these listeners tonight, wherever they're at, whatever they're doing right now. Thank you that you're blessing them. That no, thank you, Lord Jesus, that no weapon that comes before you, that come before them, shall prosper. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have victory in you. Through you we can do everything, because it's you who gives us strength. And I just pray, Lord God, that you use this word tonight that's going to go forth. Thank you that you use me tonight as an oracle, as I bring your word tonight. And I thank you that every one of these listeners has a heart to receive and ears to hear the word of the Lord tonight. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight, in Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program tonight, Lord. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program. I say that finances come into this program. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that increases in listenership come to this show. And most of all, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, amen, and amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Amen. Exodus 14. While you're listening, while you're turning there, I want you to say, "The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever." The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Say that again. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. It always feels good to say that. It really does. It really does. I want to encourage you, of course, that whatever I do here where I'm at, you do where you are. So I sing, you sing, if you know the lyrics. I pray, you pray. I study the Bible, you study along with. If I lift my hands, chances are I'll say, "Would you lift your hands to heaven?" or something like that. If I, for some reason, give a shout unto God, you do that too. Amen. Exodus 14, I'm going to begin with verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pen Hareroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of the army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them, and they said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go, and we have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. And the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pen-Haroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, Egypt, leave us alone? I'm turning the page. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went before them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel throughout the night. The cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea again, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Amen. Now, so what you see here happened was, Pharaoh had done all those plagues, all those different plagues against Israel, and the Lord had brought down all those plagues, thinking that Pharaoh somehow would let Israel go. But every time there was a plague, Pharaoh kept saying, "Nope." Sometimes Pharaoh would say, "Yeah, I'll let him go." But then he would change his mind and harden his heart again. And then he would change his mind and harden his heart again. And he'd keep hardening his heart. Then, suddenly, there at the end there, and they were marching toward a place, toward where they were going to, and God told Moses, "Moses, I want you to have the Israelites go camp near the sea." And then he said, "In addition to that, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart one more time." And then he said, he gave Moses instructions like, "Moses, I want you to do this. At this point, you know, stretch out your hand this way. The sea will dry up, and instead will form a wall on the right and the left." Oh, figure that out. They built a wall. They built a wall. Did you hear that? They built a wall. Only it was a wall of water to guide the Israelites. And Israel crossed over on dry ground. But then Egypt had the and Pharaoh and his chariots had the idea of, "Let's jump in after them. Let's go chase them. We're in hot pursuit. We're going to go find them. There's no way I'm going to let them go." And first Pharaoh was very sad, you know, that he had lost the services of the Israelites. So he's like, "I'm going to go get them. I'm going to go find them." And so Pharaoh, he sends his army and all these chariots. When I see that the sea is dry, they all go in. They're all looking for them. And they think they're getting kind of close. But then, when he sees that all the Israelites had crossed over on dry ground, what happened was, God had Moses stretch out his hands over the sea. This time, the water went right back to where it was supposed to. The wheels came right off those chariots. And the Egyptians, they all drowned, including their chariots, including all those horses. They all drown in all that water. And then the Israelites feared the Lord after that. Because first, for a second, for a little bit there, they were all complaining like, "Why did we leave Egypt? We should have just stayed in Egypt. We should have just stayed in Egypt. In Egypt, we had all this stuff, and we had all this stuff, and we had all..." But, of course, God had a better plan. Now, this is how right now we're dealing with an attack on the enemy against America as we know it. And this whole thing that we have going on in America, it's not just about the virus. It's not just about an attack on our president. It's about an attack on America as we know it. It's an attack on liberty. It's an attack on freedom. That's what this whole thing is about. And all the plans that the enemy has had against us. That's what this whole thing that we're dealing with right now, including all these riots and stuff, and all this thing, that's what this is all about. They don't want America to be free. Right now, that whole thing is like Pharaoh. Does not want, they would not let Israel go. those people who are plotting against America, they don't want America free. They don't want the free world to be free. So that's why this virus, amongst other things, has happened. This was all planned. The good news is that I believe that God is going to flip this thing on its head. God is going to flip it on its head. And all this stuff, this extra stuff that they've been planning, is going to come to naught. I feel like that's what's going to happen. Because they have more plans. Trust me, they do. But they're going to fail. Everything these enemies try to do, it fails. Originally we had, when the virus first came, they were like, we'll back it up to last year. So last year they tried to impeach our president. Though they get him impeached, they failed to get him removed from office. So that's part of their first plan. It failed. Obviously, in 2016, there was other stuff, but I'm just going, like, in the past 12 months. So then, it's like, there's this virus, and they say, like, the ideal scenario was that a couple million, at least, dead, and at least 20% of Americans infected. To this point, both have failed. Then these riots, and we still have them going on in cities right now. Though they're doing a lot, though a lot of bad stuff has happened, it's not what had been planned. And now, as we're seeing, virus cases in the U.S. are now falling. They are now falling. Even though temperatures are going down now and we're getting closer to fall, as of right now, the amount of cases is falling. And so the plan of the enemy, we just got to pray that God breaks the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot and that all these people who have been plotting all these attacks, they just realize everything we do fails. We need to find something else. Everything we do fails. And I think God is going to confuse them. Just like what happened to those Egyptians. All these Egyptians, you see, they were wandering around in the sea and not knowing what was going to happen. It's like the ground's dry. Moses stretched out his hand. They're like all confused. They don't know what's going to happen. Then the water starts coming on, and they're even getting even more confused. And then they notice the chariots. They're not driving like they're supposed to. Then suddenly, all that water comes back. The water just takes them all down. And then when God... The way I see it, when the virus leaves, I mean, when God removes the plague of the virus from off the earth, I feel like it's kind of like, and I think God's going to laugh and say, look, see, and you can say, see, I did that for my people because my people prayed. And that's why we have to pray. And believe God. And so in this case, there's a lot of different people that you could call Pharaoh. Some people in Washington, maybe Soros, maybe Bill Gates, maybe Fauci, maybe. No, listeners, I'm not being political. I'm teaching you a message from the Word of God. But I'm using practicality to show you. So, what's happening? So, what I think is going to happen, as long as the church prays, as long as the church votes here in America, as long as that happens, the plague will be stayed from off the land. And everything will be exposed. And God will say, see, I did that for my people. And what God's doing right now, the way I look at it personally, I think God is separating the wheat from the tares. Or if you could want to say it this way, I'm separating my people, my true people, from the people who say they're mine. The people who say they're mine, but they, people who say they're Christians, but they don't live like him at all. They don't talk like him. They don't do what he says. In other words, those who do everything that he says to do, those are the wheat. Those who don't, they don't live like him. They sin all the time. They don't repent. Those are the tares. So God is sifting his people as a way to get them ready. And then this doesn't mean that there won't be any more attacks at all of any kind. No. We're in the last of the last days. Where I see it, God is going to wipe this from off our land, and God is going to throw the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots and wipe this thing off the land. And not just the virus. I mean, all this other stuff. God's going to deal with it. And when you get the right people in there, it's going to be a great thing. And we're going to see an outpouring in our churches, I believe. The last great outpouring. And we are still in the last of the last days. And Jesus is going to come at an hour that we do not expect him. But you just need to be ready. I taught you this lesson today and showed you these verses so you could see with Pharaoh. And how God, you know, broke the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots in the sea. And that's exactly what God's going to do now in the case of America. Because right now it's like Pharaoh, it's like right now it's like Pharaoh's driving the army's kind of driving their wheels, you know. They're kind of driving their chariots, but right now it's like they're confused. Because everything they're trying is not doing what they want. But, of course, the church needs to pray. and the prayers of the saints availeth much. I'm so glad to know that. I'm so grateful to know that, that the prayers of the saints availeth much. And that's why we have to, and those Israelites that are complaining, that's kind of like those people right now who are like saying, we need to la 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 and la 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 la. They're like those people that know, like they maybe they've even been told that God has a better plan, but for whatever reason they don't want it. And they might be like, well, we need to listen to the experts. The experts. The experts. They want everybody locked down in their house with a mosque in their house. And the plan was that America would never reopen at all. That was the initial plan. It was. We didn't know it at the time. We could have figured that it would have went on for a while, maybe even longer. Of course, we would have hoped not, but I have now found out that the initial plan was not for America to reopen. And I know a lot of this stuff. And there was a certain pandemic exercise back in October of last year. And then the plan was announced in January of this year that they'd be launching a pandemic. Actually, since they decided to launch it, it's not a pandemic, it's a plandemic. And there have been coronaviruses since like the 60s at least. This one was just greatly altered by humans. Was greatly altered by humans. Giving you facts. I was telling you a couple of things. That the news media will not tell you. Oh, Miracle Man, you're just shooting conspiracy theories. No. 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 And I just saw something today that said that a lot of these tests that came back positive, particularly a lot of the asymptomatic ones. Asymptomatic meaning infected, but you didn't have, but infected, but you don't show symptoms. A lot of those should have actually been negative, which otherwise means that they either never had the virus or they didn't have it at the time of the test. So, you know what this means? The enemy is being exposed. The enemy is being exposed. And that's good to see that the enemy is being exposed. And I think as we get towards the end of this year, for God's people, it's going to be a great few months. I honestly believe that by the time the year is done, 2020 for the people of God will have been a year of plenty. Amen. I really do believe that. And I'm sure there's some of you out there that through the lockdown, shutdown, mask up, whatever you want to call that whole thing, especially March to April and early May, that when we went through the initial, lockdown, quarantine all the healthy in their own house, all that, I'm sure. I've heard stories of people who through that whole thing, they did not go down. They went up. They went up because the hand of God was on. And they increased. Their business increased. Amen. And my pastor had said, 2020 is designed to be a year of plenty. Plenty of good things for those who seek my faith and do as I say, but also plenty of trouble for those who do not. At the start of the year, I didn't know what to think of that. I was just like, praise God, I receive it. I'm one of God's kids. I believe it's going to be a year of blessing. But I wasn't sure what the trouble was going to be for the others. I think this was a huge, or the ultimate piece of it, piece of that. I believe that. I really do. So, Christians, we need to keep praying that God throws the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots and confuses the minds of those who have made those plans against the free world. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to get into my football predictions. And briefly, my thoughts for the 2020 Lions. So, Heavenly Father, bless those who tuned in tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you are our God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless those who tuned in, that you just speak to them. Show them how to be more like you. And now, Lord God, I thank you that we would be doers of this word tonight and not hearers only. And I take a moment right now to pray over America. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless America, that you are working on America's behalf. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the breakthroughs that we're going to see you do as your people seek you. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are throwing the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot. And whatever these people have planned, it will come to naught. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen and amen. And amen. Amen. Now, some sports. First of all, Lions look ahead. The Lions have a couple games, a game against a Western opponent, a game against an Eastern opponent. And then they have an NFC South and AFC South full schedule, meaning one game per NFC South opponent, one game per AFC South opponent. In other words, on the AFC side, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Houston, of course. And then on the NFC side, Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa, and of course, we can't forget about the New Orleans Saints, where the Saints go marching in. What do I see? Well, of course, and we also have two games each for against the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. And, of course, each of these represent their own challenges. I think it'll be a year of improvement for the Lions. Do I think they will win the division? No. Do I think they can win? Do I think they can make the playoffs? If things go very well for them. Things go very well for them. They'll have to win a lot of these Southern games and a lot of these divisional games, the games within our own division. Sunday, they start with the Cards. And they'll be starting on Sunday. For the first few weeks, there will be no fans in Ford Field. The first few. Other states are doing other different things, like in Ohio, as of right now. Cleveland and Cincinnati will both be allowed to have 6,000 fans apiece at two of their games per team, as of right now. We'll see what happens from there. Hopefully that'll be increased and greater capacity. We have to wait and see. And then for the Lions, Stafford is back. Patricia is back. A lot of others are back. And let me tell you something. Patricia and the team, they must do better this year. They must do better than what they've done the last 2 years. Otherwise, it'll be time to rebuild. That being said, I expect a 9-7 regular season and a squeak into the playoffs. That's my prediction for the Lions. 9-7. So beat Green Bay once, lose to them once. They'll go 3-3 against their divisional opponents. They'll win some of these Southern games, but not all. As for specifically, in my mind, they will lose to the Bucs, the Saints, they'll also lose to the Texans, and to Tennessee. They'll beat the Colts and the Jags. And the Panthers. And 3 wins from the division. And win 1, if not 2, those other games, making them 9-7 as my projection as of right now. All right, time to pick a couple games, shall we? Tomorrow night, we have the Houston Texans going into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, featuring Andrew Wiley from the Midland Chemics. Will he be a starter? I don't know yet, but hopefully he will. And I think Houston can be an improved team this year. But my prediction for tomorrow night, hail to the Chiefs, 26. Houston, we have a problem, 19. What? I thought you whispered something.
No, God.
Whoops. So, in other words, Texans, I mean, Chiefs will beat the Texans 26-19 tomorrow night in Kansas City. Sunday, Lions, Cardinals in Arizona. Stafford will be back. He was on the COVID list for a brief time, and then it turned out it was a false positive. My prediction is Lion of the Tribe of Judah, 28, card shuffled, 20. Monday Night Football, I will pick on Monday. And then other football news. The Big 12 and the ACC will be starting their seasons this weekend. The SEC will be starting on the 26th of September. Big Ten, they're looking at possibly starting in October, which Ohio State and now even Governor DeWine are in favor of. Obviously, the schools will have to take another vote to wait and see, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. My hope is that we can get Big Ten going soon, so that I can bring back Football Central the way it's meant to be. And so, so we have football is coming back, folks. And that's good to see. Obviously, not all the stadiums will have fans in them yet. Some will, some won't. Some of them that will is more so than not in the southern U.S., which to me is no surprise, being the way it all runs down there. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our dwelling. For you, Lord God, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drugged or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, none of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. And we're going to be in great peace and great joy and prosperity, and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and God bless. the USA. So long, everybody.